Do not deceive. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. There is an unrelenting quality linking our lives and our deeds, summed up in the words of our text, that what we sow, we also reap. St. Paul has just been urging the Christians in Galatia to share with those who were their pastors and their teachers. He then makes this statement of our text, which constitutes a sweeping principle, which is only partially illustrated by the context. Our secular prophets have taken up that cry today. With regard to mental illness, they tell us that a man does not do wrong because he is sick, but rather he is sick because he has done wrong. William Glasser, O.H. Meyer, to mention only two, are again and again telling us to hold people to the reality that they are responsible for their deeds. This is long been the law of the farm. You do not plant oats and expect to reap wheat. You do not plant corn and expect to reap oats. There's a kind of finality about it all, an irreversibility about it. Nothing short of destroying the crop itself and starting all over again from things that have been done. It is the law of the family. You do not sow unhappiness and selfishness and expect to reap happiness and unselfishness. You do not neglect your wife, spend too little time with your children, and rightfully expect them to honor and respect you and long to spend time with you. It is the law of all interpersonal relationships. You do not distrust others and respect as a result. You do not speak harshly and unkindly, cruelly to others, and expect them to love you and hold you in love and esteem in return. It is the law of the academic community. As we come to the end of Term 1 and Term B of our summer session, there are some of you, perhaps, or perhaps very few, who have invested very little of your time and of your life and your effort to your service. But I would not be surprised to go home with an ample measure of disappointment. The majority, however, have invested much of their time, much of their effort, and they will go home with an increasing sense of fulfillment. I participated in a number of master's and doctoral oral examinations here at Concordia Seminary. In each case, I have seen men who have evidenced a great amount of work in order to be properly prepared for that experience. It just doesn't happen by itself. It takes a person who is willing to extend the effort and the dedication to the task to accomplish this purpose. It is a guiding principle of the spiritual life as well. The means of grace, God's holy word, and his blessed sacraments are absolutely free. There are no strings attached, no limitations on their power upon their effectiveness. But I have noted that it is only that man, that woman, who spends time in the world, who attends worship of God regularly with his fellow Christians, who draws upon the strength of the holy sacrament of Christ's body and blood on a regular basis. It is only these who receive the strength and that these sacraments and this word promise to that individual. Luther knew this full well. That's the reason he spent hours in meditation upon the word, and hours in prayer based upon that meditation. There is no way that a Christian can grow as God desires him to grow, apart from faithful participation in the means of grace. It is implicit in the Lord's growth and development of every facet of life. The late R.W. Dale of Birmingham put it this way: what strikes you more and more is the permanence of one's early life, the identity between you and mature manhood. I do not mean that God has lifted me out of many unsatisfactory things which surrounded and entangled me and you, but that every habit, good and evil, of those early years seemed to have permanently affected my whole life. The battle is largely lost or won before it seems to begin. The Greeks, you remember, believed in many things, the goddess of retribution. They believed that when a man did a wrong thing, immediately Nemesis was on his trail, and sooner or later would catch up. Seems to me that the Greek tragedies also are something that's common upon the text. The Jewish will suffer, or to put it in a more modern dress, crime does not pay, the criminal pays. But this is not the fulfillment of the unfolding of Holy Scripture. There is also one who showed other seeds. He is so full of discontent with all others that it seems the most difficult to comprehend. In place of sin, God showed seeds of forgiveness. He committed his Son, Jesus Christ, to send the cross at Calvary, to die for the very disharmony, the inconsistency, the failure to do what we ought to do. And as a result of this magnificent death, he grants forgiveness of sin to all who trust in him. He does this because it is utterly impossible for me, for any other human being, to show pure seed of goodness and righteousness. I have within me the seeds of death and disharmony and disobedience. It is for that reason that I need the forgiveness of my sin. I am a sinner by birth and by choice. Personal choice. My only hope is to look to the cross of my Lord Jesus Christ, who won those seeds of grace and forgiveness for me and for all mankind. Not the labors of my hands can fulfill the law's commands. Could my zeal no rest but know? Could my tears forever flow? All for sin could not atone. Thou must stay, and thou alone. And God did it in Jesus Christ, and continually pours out his grace of forgiveness to all who trust in our Lord Jesus Christ. But this does not remove the reality that my deeds do count. And even though I am forgiven, very often there are scars of my sin that remain. Hence, it is out of gratitude for his love for me, and knowing so well that I can't do it myself, but I'm totally reliant upon the power that God supplies me in word and sacrament, that I make when I trust my brothers and sisters, that you will also make the watchword of your life to be, that I might be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as I know that my labor is not in vain in the Lord. And I need a peace of God, which transcends all human understanding, mounts God like a sentinel over your hearts and your minds, to face in Christ Jesus and the life everlasting.